Hi everyone, welcome to Torah Dimach Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Hudi Elsanth. I'm excited to be learning Parsha's Tzav with you today. When we look at Parsha's Tzav, there's two main topics. First, it repeats all of the Karbanot, and then in Perek Chet, it talks about the Chanukah the Mishkan. So we're going to skip to the Chanukah the Mishkan, and then we'll come back to the Karbanot. The Chanukah the Mishkan is a topic that comes up over here, but it's something that's actually already spoken about at the end of Sefer Shmot. At the end of Sefer Shmot is where we see the building of the Mishkan, and then at the end of the Sefer we have the Psukim that talk about Uchvod Hashem Aleda Mishkan, the glory of Hashem fills up the Mishkan, and so we already somehow see the Chanukah the Mishkan at the end of Sefer Shmot. We see it again over here in Sefer Vayikra, where we have the discussion of the Zayin Yemei Miluim, these seven preparatory days through which they're supposed to get the Mishkan up and running, and then the Yom HaShmini comes up next week's Parsha, where the Shechina is supposed to come down, and then we actually have the Chanukah and Mishkan discussed also in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshas Naso, where the Kohanim bring a slew of Karbanot, each one the same slew of Karbanot in Parshas Naso. So the question begs itself, why does the Torah speak about the Chanukah and Mishkan in three different Svarim, and not just that it speaks about in three different Svarim, in each Sefer it appears to be a different length of days. In Sefer Shmot, it appears to be only one day. Uchvod Hashem Aleh HaMishkan. Over here in Sefer Vayikra, it appears to be 8 days long, the Zayin Yemei Miluim, and then the eighth day. And in Sefer Bamidbar, it appears to be 12 days long, one for each Shevet, one for each Nasik representing his Shevet, bringing a slew of Karbana in honor of the Chanukah HaMishkan. So I heard this actual idea from Rabbi Tzvi Grumman many years ago, that each Sefer represents the Mishkan from a different perspective. Sefer Shmot represents it from the perspective of Hashem. Sefer Vayikra, we're going to see, is from the perspective of the Kohanim. And Sefer Bamidbar is from the perspective of Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan serves three different roles. And in Sefer Shmot, it's from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mishkan is the home of Hashem. And so all we need to know about is that Hashem came home, and that's at the end of the Sefer. The Ramban refers to Sefer Shmot as the Sefer Galus V'Geula in his Hakdama to Sefer Shmot. What's the Galus of Sefer Shmot? So that's obviously the Shibud of Mitzrayim, and they're slaves, and then they come out of Mitzrayim. And the Galus of Sefer Shmot actually doesn't end when they come out of Mitzrayim. If that's true, then Sefer Shmot could have ended in Parshas B'Shalach when we cross through the Yam Suf. Rather, what's the Geula of Sefer Shmot? The Geula of Sefer Shmot only comes in, begins in Parshas Yitro when we come to Har Sinai. The Geula is spiritual, and it's only completed at the end of Sefer Shmot when we build the Mishkan. Why is that? The Geula isn't just a one-time revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's too transitory. The revelation at Har Sinai and that spiritual connection that we formed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Matan Torah gets perpetuated into the Mishkan. And it's actually the same setup. The Ramban talks about how at Har Sinai we have Hashem in the center on the mountain, then the surrounding the mountain with the Kohanim, surrounding the Kohanim with Bnei Israel. And that exact same setup is what we have in the Mishkan. The Mishkan's in the center with the Shechina being Shora. Surrounding that are the Kohanim and the Levim, Machane Kohuna, and surrounding that is Machane Yisrael. And so the Mishkan is actually a portable Har Sinai. It's the perpetuation of Har Sinai. And so the Geula of Sefer Shmot, Hashem comes home into the Mishkan. That's the final psukim of Sefer Shmot. And we see the perspective of Hashem over there. It's only one day. That day is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Chazal talk about Rosh Chodesh Nisan as this unbelievable day. The day that the Shechina comes into the Mishkan, Natabala Sara Taru, Chazal say, this day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is coming up soon, wears like 10 crowns. It's this day when the Shechina comes to join us, hopefully forever. And Sefer Vayikra, our Parshas Tzav, so over here is from the perspective of the Kohanim. The Mishkan isn't just the home of Hashem, it's also the office for the Kohanim. And Chazal, we say, refer to our Sefer Vayikra as a Torah's Kohanim. This is their office, and so from the perspective of the Kohanim, it's not just that one day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's the Yom HaShmini, the final day when the Shechina is supposed to come down, but they also had to busy themselves with getting everything ready for the Chanukah and Mishkan, and that's the Zayin Yemei Miluim. They had to, Moshe had to take it up put it up, take it down, bring they had to bring a whole slew of carbonate to make sure everything would run smoothly and the shechina would come on Yom Hashmini. And so over here it's from the perspective of the Kohanim, and so we see that week in advance, and the Mishkan almost like the office of the Kohanim. And finally in Sefer Bamidbar we see the Mishkan not just as the home of Hashem and as the office of the Kohanim, but also as the center for Klal Yisrael. This is the real center of Jewish future for Bnei Yisrael. This is the uniting force for Bnei Yisrael. They're all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the center, and so each Nasi brings a slew of Karbanot representing their Sheva on a different day, beginning on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first Nasi brings, plus the 11 following days. Each Nasi brings a slew of Karbana in honor of the Chanukah of Mishkan. When we look at the beginning of Parshas Tzav, so there's another big question that comes up. The Torah already went through all of the Karbanot in Parshas Vayikra, and now over here in Parshas Tzav we have a repetition of all of those five main categories of Karbanot that we spoke about last week. Why would the Torah go through all of them again? And so just like over there in Parshas Vayikra we had a repeating phrase that helped us divide up the Karbanot, so too over here in Parshas Tzav the repeating phrase makes it very clear that there's a difference over here, that this is its own category and something else is going on. What's the repeating phrase by the Karbanot over here in Parshas Tzav? Each Karban starts out with the phrase Vizot Torah. Starts out Vizot Torah Ha'ola, then Zot Torah HaMincha, Zot Torah HaChata, Vizot Torah HaAshem, and finally Vizot Torah Zevach HaShlamim. So what is Torah? So the Torah is not just the book that we're holding. Torah literally means the procedures. These are the procedures for the Ola, for the Mincha, for the Chata, for the Asham, and finally for the Shlamim. And that actually explains for us the difference between these two Parshio. When we look at Parshas Vayikra, the opening is clear that Hashem tells Moshe, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael. As opposed to over here in Parshas Tzav, the Hashem is told, Tzavas Aaron Vespanav, tell Aaron and his children, meaning speak to the Kohanim. So when we're talking to Bnei Yisrael and Parshas Vayikra, the division of the Karbanot is about the Nedava and the Chova, meaning if you want to bring a Karban, so you could bring an Ola, a Mincha, Shlamim, and the phrase repeated over there was Yisheviach Nichach Hashem, those are the ones that are pleasing to Hashem. If you have to bring a Karban, the next two Pekim, where the Chatzad and the Asham, Mechipel Avakam and Nisach, you're going to get Kapar and Tzlicha when you bring the Chatzad and the Asham. So the division is based on that. When we get up to Parshas Tzav, it's not just that the Torah repeats all of the Karbanot, it also changes the order. The Karban Shlamim is bumped from third on the list to last on the list, at least if you're going to repeat all the Karbanot, keep the order the same, but the Torah changes the order. Why is that? Because the Torah over here is speaking to the Kohanim. The Kohanim don't care if this Karban arrives at their hands because someone wanted to bring the Karban or because someone had to bring the Karban. All they care about is what do they need to do with this Karban? And so for them, the biggest difference is the procedures for how they're going to offer up the Karban are more or less similar for the first four Karbanos that the Torah speaks about over here in Parshas Tzav. The Ola, Mincha, Chatzad, and Asham are all Kachi Kachim, we spoke about last week. Those are all Holy of Holies. The Karban Shlamim is the only one that's called Kachi Kalim. That's a different form. It's also Kachim, Holy Meat, but it's Kachi Kalim, a more light form of Kedusha because it's the only one that the Baal HaKarban gets to eat from. The procedures over there differ the most from the other ones because the Baal HaKarban gets to eat from it. Less of it gets offered up on the Mizbeach. More of it gets eaten by the Baal HaKarban and all the people that he shares it with. And so the procedures over there differ the most, and that's why the order is differs as well over here in Parshas Tzav. And so the opening phrase for each Karban is that phrase Vizot Torah. These are the procedures for the Ola. These are the procedures for the Mincha, the Chata, the Asham, and the Shlamim. Meaning these are the halachot, all of the different laws that the Kohen needs to, through which the Kohen needs to offer up these Karbanot. And so over here we actually find detailings of different things that the Kohanim need to do with each karban. And right at the beginning, one of the first mitzvot that we see that the Kohanim need to busy themselves with when they bring the karbano is the mitzvah of Trumat Hadashan. What is that mitzvah? So the mitzvah of Trumat Hadashan literally means lifting up of the ashes. And when we translate that into daily life, it's basically taking out the garbage. The Kohanim had to clean out the garbage of the Mizbeach, the ashes. And it's pretty obvious when you have a holy place, any shul, yeshiva, institution. So they're going to have a janitor. They're going to have someone cleaning it. They're going to have a cleaning crew. You're not going to leave this holy institution left dirty. And so we would think that the Mishkan also had someone cleaning the floor, sweeping, doing sponja, but we don't see any mitzvot about that. Yet by the Trumat Hadashan, there's a mitzvah to so make sure to take out the garbage, to clean out the ashes. Why does the Torah need to tell us this so explicitly to make it a mitzvah? And so the Mefarshim struggle with this, and they all give different explanations for the reason behind the mitzvah of the Trumat Hadashan. The Sefer Achina speaks about how the purpose of this mitzvah is really to be mehader the Mizbeach, it beautifies the Mizbeach, and not just the Mizbech, but it beautifies the fire that is lit afterwards. If you don't clean out the ashes, so then the fire is filled with those black little specks and dirt and ashes, and it doesn't light as beautifully or as high. And so it's a mitzvah to make sure that to beautify for the purpose of Hashem, to make it as beautiful as most beautiful as possible. Rashi also focuses more, the Torah speaks about a lot about the changing of the clothing for the Kohen when he's taking out the garbage. And Rashi also, it would seem to be, is focusing on making it more beautiful for Hashem, that when you take ashes, get all over the place when you deal with them. And so the clothes of the Kohanim also would get dirty. And so he has to make sure that he has clean clothes when he's serving. And so there's a focus on changing of the clothes. Also, to make sure when you're serving Hashem, that you should be clean and respectable. And that's why it's focused on that part of the mitzvah in Rashi's approach. Other Mefarshim have a very different perspective. The Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher al HaTorah and also the Chos HaLevavos speaks about how the purpose of this mitzvah isn't so much as for Hashem as it is for the Kohen. The Chos HaLevavos writes, he says, V'chayvo ha'boi lotzir ha'deshem b'chol yom tamid, he says, Hashem commands the removal of the ashes every day. For what reason? To lower and to remove any gaiva from the heart of the Kohen. Meaning the purpose of this mitzvah is not for Hashem, but rather for the Kohen. What does that mean? And not just for the Kohen, but we spoke about last week how Sefer Vayikra is called Torah Kohanim, and the approach of the Barbanel and the Rav David Tzvi Hafman is that it's not really referring to the class of Kohen and the Big Day Kuna, but referring to us as Kohanim, we're all Kohanim, v'atem tzulim amlachas kohanim v'goy kadosh, and these mitzvot over here in Parshas Tzav are meant for us. What the Torah is telling us is that right at the outset, when you're coming to serve Hashem, we're the Kohanim, remember to take out the garbage. What does that mean? So I heard a story about Rav Mordechai Gifter, was the Rosh Yeshiva in Taos in Cleveland, where there was a young man who was learning in his yeshiva, married with little kids, and he came to complain to the Rosh Yeshiva that there was no one to take out the garbage in their house. The wife is bogged down with the little kids and can't get out with the garbage, and she wants him to take it every day, and it's not befitting for a Talmid Chacham to walk out with a smelly, leaking, overflowing garbage through the streets. It's not mechubad for him. And Rav Gifter heard this problem and said, here, let me think about what to do. The next morning, there's a knock on the door of this little young family, and the man opens the door early in the morning and he sees the Rosh Yeshiva. He says, Rosh Yeshiva, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And the Rav Gifter says, I heard there's someone that needs to take out the garbage. He walks right past the man, goes to the kitchen, gets the garbage, and leaves. So you could imagine there was never a problem again in that family about who would take out the garbage. But the idea that Rav Gifter wanted to relate to this person, and that the Torah is actually giving to us over here, is that you cannot move in your avodat Hashem until you take out the garbage, until you lower yourself. If you think you're the king, if you're so high and mighty, then you can't be serving the king. The Torah wants us to lower ourselves. The purpose of this mitzvah is obviously for Hashem, but it's even more for us. It's for to us to make sure that we're not holding ourselves on such a high place that we can't even wash the dishes or clean the bathroom or take out the garbage or any other menial task. The lower it is, the bigger it is. The Trumas Hadashin is meant to elevate us, to lower us, but really to elevate us, to make sure that we're not thinking ourselves as too high, but rather that we're using every opportunity in our day to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wishing everybody a beautiful Shabbos.